Let's follow up from this morning about the testimony of the gospel. John 12, verse 9. We saw that gospel testimonies are very useful in witnessing. We heard them in Colombia, in India, for Dr. Thomas's place, Christ for India, in the mission there. And it has two aspects. Holding to your testimony is living out your confession without wavering from it, even at the threat of death, which is what Revelation 12 is speaking of. And a testimony like we give when we give a reason for the hope that is within us. Why do we do the things we do? Why do we not do the things we don't do? Well, our testimony is, you know, we came to know Christ and how we did that. And it's different, of course, for every person, although the basics are there. But this is what we're focusing on then today. So John 12, verse 9. The large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priest planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we see very logically that if this man is there that day who once was dead, that would be a curiosity for sure. And we would think cause not just a moment of interest, but a change of life. And our testimony, Lord, is always the hope that it would change the lives of others. And I know that you've used the testimony of many of your people to tell what happened and how they were saved and what the difference has been, and how you, in some cases, very dramatically changed lives. And this is what we desire, Lord, even if our testimony is not a dramatic one, yet, Lord, we know the grace of God in Christ so that we would share. And we pray, Lord, still that you would use those testimonies, even in our world today. In Jesus' name, amen. We have interest in death, of course. Medicine and genetics. We're always hearing that they found maybe the eternal life gene, that they found the gene that would overcome death. And that, of course, I'm sure they'll just give it out when they do get it worked up. But that they've found a gene that may be the thing that causes us to die. And that's very interesting to us, because all of us are headed for death. And we don't necessarily like that. Although there's a good in it if we go and be with Christ. But we don't like facing the fear of death. And so many in our world deal with death in the meantime, until we get to that magical spot where all the chemists and biologists and whoever, the drug companies, get us to that gene, and we'll be okay. Some have near-death experiences. We've been hearing of these for years and years now. Person's on an emergency room table, and they die. And they sometimes hover after they die. Their spirit hovers over their body, and there they are looking down at what's going on. And yet, as their spirit starts to flee, something pulls them back in, and they wake up, and they say, "Oh, you won't believe what just happened." And they're right, for the most part. Sometimes they go through this tunnel to the light. They go to the end of the light, and they find out that everything is bliss. And they generally come back and say, oh, it's such a great thing to die. And there is nothing to worry about, because it is a wonderful place. So don't worry about it, in other words. Instead of the Bible that says it is appointed to men once to die and after that the judgment, they say it's a warm fuzziness. It's great. Don't even worry about it. You don't have to plan for it. You know, just go on with your life. And of course, that's not of God. People sometimes say they died, not with out of body experience, but that they were dead. We've had this recently. A few people I've heard this reported. They died, and their message to us about what death is that it's nothingness. It's just nothingness. It's a blackness. It's nothingness. Of course, my thinking, being a skeptic, is if you're dead, how do you know what it's like? You're dead. What do you do? A person passes out. They are zonked out to the world. They don't have any consciousness. And you say, what was that like? Was I here? If you're dead, you're dead. Then they come back and they say all kinds of different things. Some say they felt this way. Some say they saw light. Some say, it's not even consistent. There's the heaven tourism, where people go to heaven in their, death state. They get a tour. They write a book. It's called Heaven Tourism. Lifeway seems to print every one of these people who say they've been to heaven, seen things. It's not biblical. They come back and report things again. There's not an urgency, really. Everybody seems to go there. And sometimes people talk to dead people. They do it through necromancy, sorcery. They do it because they have a gift of some kind, or some occult tie, and they talk to dead people. We saw Saul trying to dredge up Samuel, and he did, by God allowing that. So there's no doubt that if a person dies and something can be done about that and be reversed, and they really do come back, that would be quite a work. The resurrection of Jesus is that way. The fact that Jesus came back from the dead is an underpinning of our faith. Without that, we have no hope of eternal life. Jesus conquered death. We can die. Jesus died and rose. And so we in him. All of the attempts we would make at it, we would have one shot at it, we would die every time, and nobody would ever be saved. Those Jesus raised are a curiosity. That they were dead, and Jesus raised them from the dead. It happened in the Old Testament. Elijah and Elisha. There were people who were who rose from the dead. And one of such is Lazarus. Lazarus really did die. And he really was raised from the dead. And today that would probably get no play, because it didn't get any then from some of the people that should have respected it. But the people were very interested in what happened with Lazarus. And Lazarus had a testimony, wouldn't you say? Of people on the earth, how many were walking around? Are you Lazarus? Yes. Didn't you used to be dead? I was. What did you hear about that? Oh, we heard about it all the way down in Egypt. It's going all over the place. Lazarus had a testimony. Now, Lazarus, we know from John 11, was sick. Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And so Lazarus was sick, and Jesus, on purpose, stayed away rather than going and helping Lazarus. So when he finally showed up, Lazarus was dead. Now when it happened, Jesus said, Lazarus is sleeping, and I go to wake him up. Well, if he's sleeping, he'll be okay. Well, he's dead. And he finally shows up, and there was no doubt whatsoever by the time Jesus showed up that Lazarus was dead. Of course, we know there are still people who do not believe Jesus was dead because he rose from the dead. He got in the tomb. It was nice and cool in there. Woke him up. What am I doing in here? So out he comes. So Lazarus, though, was dead long enough for they did not want to open up the tomb because of the smell. 4 days. When Jesus said, open the tomb, we don't really want to do that, Lord, because by now he stinks. So let's not. And he says, didn't I tell you, if you'd believe, you'd see the glory of God? So they opened it up. Everybody was there mourning. People were crying. They lingered for days over Lazarus. There was so much emotion there, so much sadness and hopelessness at death, that Jesus wept in compassion for all the pain that people were feeling. Now, when he did that and people saw him, they said, oh, he's helpless. Couldn't he have stopped this man from dying? And so they used it as a means to belittle him. And when he heard about it, back in chapter 11, verse 4, when he heard that he was sick, Jesus said this, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now, it did end in death, but not the end was not death. They, of course, would have taken that to mean, well, he's going to get better. So later on, when he mentioned that it was time to go, that Lazarus had fallen asleep, verse 11, verse 12, the disciples said, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll get better. And then Jesus spoken of his death, and they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So you see, the plan is in action. Jesus left that one he loved, and Mary and Martha, who we're explicitly told that Jesus loved in verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He stayed, and he says, I'm glad I wasn't there, because if I would have healed him, that's one thing. But if he's dead, that's a whole new level of glory. And when he got there, their main thought was, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you could have only been here, but now, of course, it's too late. If you could have been here, things would have been different. Now, there was some hope there. Martha says, I know whatever you ask of God, verse 22 in chapter 11, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. They weren't even thinking about anything else. He's gone. And that's really a pretty healthy way to view death. When death comes, we have to accept that it has come. So that's what they were doing. Well, I know he's going to rise again way down the road. Jesus wasn't referring to that. Jesus said, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now that's the doctrine, spiritual doctrine. He's about to show it with Lazarus, a physical resurrection. So he said, if you believe in me, you'll never die. Well, that's not physical, because we're all appointed to die. But he is illustrating the spiritual doctrine that if you believe in Jesus, you will not die. I mean, eternally and spiritually. Physically, yes. So this is what that is about. Because that is more important than going back there quickly and healing Lazarus before he dies. Now to us, it's always best to heal as fast as possible. Whenever, Lord, we pray the first time, that's when we want him to answer. And I don't think that's wrong to want that, but it's probably wrong to expect that it's going to be exactly as we ask. We always have to say God's will be done, and it's not always done as we would want it to be done. So he asks her, do you believe this? And she said to him, Lord, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Mary comes along, says the same thing. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. It's a hopeless mess. That's why in verse 35, after all that, Jesus said in verse 34, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And he did that because of all the emotion of the situation around him. It's compassion. All the pain of death. You see, death, of course, we know is a punishment for sin. The reason we die physically is because we died spiritually. And the bodies that were meant to live forever no longer do. That was the punishment. So that's a grief. That's not the original design. All that pain that comes from death, that's not what's supposed to happen. So they tell him where he was. And Jesus goes there. Verse 37, some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. That was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha said, mm-mm, sister of the deceased. Lord, by this time there will be a stench. He has been dead 4 days. And we just had this conversation, Martha. Do you believe this? He said, ah, Lord, I believe it. Remove the stone. That's not going to work. He said, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. You see, this is a lesson. And Lazarus is the one who will deliver the lesson by the power of Jesus, who's about to raise him from the dead. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And what else are you going to do to a dead man? Pops out of the grave. What are you going to do? No, you've got to go back. You're dead. Well, he's alive now. Therefore, verse 45 says, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Some believed. Some said, oh no. This is the worst thing that happened, because we're already opposed to Jesus, and now he did something that's a miraculous thing. And they always would meet and say, well, that a notable miracle had been done to the apostles. We can't deny that, but let's tell them not to do it anymore. They were so into themselves and their own religion and their own interpretation of Judaism, they couldn't take any good news like this. It's too much power. So some went to the Pharisees and got them ready, and they had to figure out some way to combat this, to make it go away. And chapter 12, more conversations went on before that. Now, he goes back to Bethany. Lazarus at this time is quite a notable character. We have celebrities for a number of reasons, a number of things that people do. I mean, not Hollywood necessarily, but, you know, military heroes, people who are popular. Some people go on TV and they win a game show and they're popular. So Lazarus is a walking testimony. There's some really interesting questions we could ask. Lazarus, 4 days you were dead. What did you do during those 4 days? Because you know your spirit doesn't die with the body. What happened with that? That'd be a good question to ask. What kind of power is this that can raise you from the dead? What will it mean for me and what will it mean for Israel? These are things you could talk about. But with this belief, there was that strong current of opposition. Because there are things you really don't want to happen to prove that you're wrong. And people don't want to be wrong. Jesus said the reason they crucified him is because he told them that they were wrong. He told them of their sin. And to protect ourselves, we would be just about anything as sinners. And if that means denying a miracle and looking the other way, we saw many, many times in the Gospels that that was done, rather than believe in Jesus. Belief in Jesus is not a logical manifestation. It's not common sense that does it, although it would be commonly sensible and it would be very wise. People do it only by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they resist unless the Holy Spirit opens their hearts. So they believe Jesus raised Lazarus. They did believe that. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, believed that. So here Jesus comes to Bethany again. Verse 1 of chapter 12 tells us 6 days before the Passover. And they came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. I wonder why they don't say where Lazarus was, who built tree houses or was a carpenter. Because the driving thing in Lazarus now, everything else got washed away when he walked out of the tomb. He's the one that Jesus raised from the dead. So they had a supper there. Martha was serving. But Lazarus is one of those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary did a very costly service to Christ. She took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. She did that out of gratitude and love for Jesus. And Jesus says later to prepare him for his death, for his burial. Judas Iscariot, always the penny pincher, who was one of the disciples who held the money bag and pilfered from it. He said, what we should have done with that, instead of wasting it on Jesus, is sold it and given money to poor people. We're told that motivation, verse 6, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Verse 9, the large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, Jesus. And they came. We know that in the Gospels, Jesus drew a crowd. There was a whole lot of people, a throng of people around him. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. Now, they wanted to see Lazarus. He was dead. They wanted to see him. He looked the same as he was before he was dead. He didn't bring anything new, but the fact that he had died and came back, they wanted to see him. So Jesus they came for, and Lazarus they came for. Because Lazarus was a living walking testimony of the power of Jesus, which his enemies did not want to admit was happening. So, verse 10, chief priest planned to put Lazarus to death also. Well, didn't we do that already? They planned on putting Lazarus to death again. Now, Lazarus, in the course of time, would have died again. He was raised from the dead. In the course of time, he would have, from something other than that sickness that took him down before, he will die from something else later on, whenever that was. So the fact that they would kill him again, they wanted to kill him again so that people would not come to see him and see him alive and then identify the power of Jesus Christ that raised him from the dead. Because if he's dead, what they're paying attention to now about would be overcome. So they don't want people to see Lazarus because, verse 11, on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. He was drawing people away to believe in Jesus. Probably the most logical conclusion that you could ever make is that the man who raised the dead shouldn't be followed. They were thinking, well, we don't want people to follow Jesus. That's a big mistake. If you get the revelation of the power of Jesus to raise the dead, what is it that everybody's bothered by all them? We're dying. And here's somebody who, not from a formula, not from a gene, but from his own divine power, is healing people and raising the dead. That would be the most logical thing to do, is come and believe in Jesus. Now, the Bible seems to indicate this belief might not have been lasting. It may have been a curiosity only, because there were very few who believed at the end of his earthly ministry. But they were looking into Jesus. The devil doesn't want anybody even to consider looking into Jesus, lest they believe. And Lazarus was a tool for belief. And people saw Lazarus and they said, look, there he is. I believe in Jesus. Most logical thing to do. But to keep their scam going, they were going to kill him and stop that. And we see here basically a big difference. We see those who are drawn by Lazarus as a testimony of one that Jesus raised from the dead. We have people who are accepting that Jesus raised him from the dead, and they glorify and believe in Jesus because of it, and we're told many of the Jews were doing that. Then you've got those who are opposed to Lazarus because they have no wish to believe. What unbelievers do, it's age old and you see it all the time, is if they do not want to believe, they will put something up that will justify their refusal to believe. I hate to keep saying the same thing, but this is one they've latched onto for a long time. When it is commanded of them to believe and they don't want to believe, there are so many hypocrites in the church. And they're expected from that to be excused. Or they've got an intellectual problem with believing. They've got another religion. They will be persecuted if they believe. Whatever the excuse is, it is intended to excuse unbelief, to make it sensible. So, the chief priests, they're willing even though they're chief priests, to fight against God and against God's power to keep them in the belief that they already have. And so they don't have to go. If Lazarus is dead, they don't have to focus on the fact that he was raised. He's dead again. It wasn't much of a thing. Magic, trickery, hocus pocus, sleight of hand. But they want to hold on to their own beliefs. It's illegal in many countries to believe in Jesus. In many countries, it's illegal to convert because they hold on to their error so tightly that even somebody rising from the dead is not going to do it. Jesus told that to the rich man. If they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe if somebody rises from the dead. There's a hardness in that. Now, to apply it to us, we have been raised from the dead. You, he has made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. What does that mean? You were dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2, and you have been made alive. And so your life, after you have been raised from the dead, is a living testimony of someone who used to be dead. It's not this physical thing that would really attract people's attention. But let me just say, Jesus raised a number of people from the dead, and it did not bring salvation to the world. That in itself is not going to do it. But we are living, breathing testimony to the fact that Jesus raises people from the dead because he has made us alive if we believe in him. And that's the witness, not Lazarus. Lazarus is one man, an illustration for what the power of Jesus, one man at that time in Bethany. Christians are much more numerous than that. And every person that Jesus saves, he raises from the dead, here and later. Death no longer has dominion over us. We are destined for eternal life. And he raises us from the dead when we believe in him. So we're Lazarus. Jesus said to us one day, "Lazarus, come forth," and we were dead and we rose. And that's salvation and new birth and being born again. So our testimony is to be as one like Lazarus who was raised from the dead. Let's all stand. David, would you dismiss us?